Hey, podcast listeners, it's Plus INT, where we level up your knowledge of gaming and geekery, and I'm Georgia Romig, and it's just me this week, but, and I know I said last episode that will be super boring, and I apologize ahead of time, because it's probably going to be, but I thought I should give you guys just a quick little summer news rundown before we part ways for the semester. So let's get started. First and most important, I wanted to talk about AmiCon, which is the Amarillo Anime, Comic, and Steampunk Convention that's going to be happening this summer. It's going to be July 20th from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. at the Amarillo Civic Center. Right now you can register to volunteer, and you can register for the cosplay event, which will be anime, comic, steampunk-themed cosplay for kids, and then there's a 13-plus competition. There's going to be a couple of video game tournaments. Last I read on their Facebook page, they're going to have a handheld Pokemon tournament, which is pretty awesome. Tefra RPG, something steampunk, I don't play it myself, sorry. And Magic the Gathering. And I think they're still announcing panelists. Sorry if that's wrong. But they are having David Wenzel, who is the illustrator for the Hobbit graphic novel. They're having Stephen Phillips, who wrote Victorian Secret Agents, Owls of the Ironwork Isle for Antarctic Press, and also the artist for that comic, Wolt Harrell. They're both local comic book writers and artists. Airship Horizons is doing a panel on Dark Side of Steampunk. I think they just released another panelist whose name is escaping me. Really sorry about that. But you can check on their Facebook page and on their website, which, of course, I will link in the show notes. It's hosted by Friends of Amarillo Public Library, who also did the recent Yule Ball event and have done last year's AmiCon. I think it's going to be a pretty awesome event, and if you have the chance to, you should totally check it out. Yeah, that's really all I have to say there. I'd like for us to cover it, if we can, over the summer, but I'm not going to make any promises here, because who knows how that will turn out. Alright, so, moving on. I wanted to talk really quick. If you're a used gamer nerd, like me and Preston both sort of talks about before, sad news, GameStop is no longer allowing people to trade in their old PS2 games. Time Magazine reported on this, which they got kind of from Reddit, that GameStop will no longer, you know, be trading in PS2 games starting June 1st. However, Time pretty helpfully did list a couple of places you can still sell your used games. Amazon, GooseX, Walmart, Target, CashForGamers.com, GetGames.com, eBay. Personally speaking, I've had really good success selling games on Half.com. And always check out your local game stores and your local used stores. I know Hastings has a pretty good selection. I think they also do game buybacks. I've seen a couple at the thrift shops here in Amarillo. So, yeah, just keep an eye on that, used gamers. All right, so something else that, kind of two big stories I wanted to touch on real quick, because we talked about the EA, at least I'm pretty sure we talked about Lucasfilms, getting canned, and Disney and Star Wars and all that. Follow up on this, Disney and EA have signed a multi-year licensing deal. EA is going to keep developing PC, mobile, and console, Star Wars games. From what I'm understanding from multiple sources here, EA is going to develop for what they're calling a core gaming audience, which I'm taking to mean consoles and PCs, whereas Disney is focusing on mobile, social, and online gaming. Ars Technica reports that BioWare, DICE, and Visceral will all be working on Star Wars games. Several sources have noted that this is probably a good move for EA and Disney, because Knights of the Old Republic has not had a good time keeping subscribers, and Disney's gaming publishing platform has not been so great, so a lot of people are speculating that, you know, this deal is going to hopefully, for those companies, get some more revenue in. Other than that, I want to talk really quickly about Adobe. I know not everybody listening to this is a big Adobe person, but I still think for especially design nerds and people who, you know, are working in that field, this is important. Today, Adobe announced a big upgrade to Creative Cloud, which is their suite cloud service. I'm not going to get into the details of all of that. The most important part here is that they've said they are not upgrading CS6 after this point. All upgrades to Adobe services will be going through Creative Cloud. Basically, you're not going to be able to buy Photoshop, InDesign, Dreamweaver, whatever your Adobe programs plural of choice is. Now it's all cloud. All right, so I'm going to give you the price breakdown on this really quick that I got from Ars Technica. $50 a month for a full suite subscription. That's $30, though, if you already own CS3 through CS5.5. And if you choose not to get a subscription, you're going to be paying $75 a month for the full suite. However, if you choose to just get one single program, for example, you just want to do Photoshop, you're a photo editing person, or just Dreamweaver or whatever, that'll cost you $20 a month for that. And look, Ars is saying that, you know, they think that it can save you money in the long run. I think it's going to depend on what kind of Adobe user you are. If you're the sort of person who consistently is like, I need upgrades, I need all the upgrades in the world, this is probably a good thing for you. And if you're the kind of person who doesn't necessarily see the need to upgrade your software constantly, you're maybe not going to get as much out of this. But there's a lot of speculation on the various tech sites, and I think this is probably going to be pretty legit, that we're moving towards a subscription software model in general. That the next suite that we're probably going to see this happen with is Microsoft Office. They've already been experimenting with Office 365, and a lot of people are saying 2013 is probably going to be the last, you know, software version we get of Microsoft Office, or maybe they'll hold out for one more year before they go cloud entirely. Yeah, that's, I think, just something to kind of keep an eye on. Also wanted to talk really quickly, a news story that you want to keep your eyes on over the semester, or, you know, between semesters here, is what's going on with the online sales tax. All right, so I am going to try my very best to summarize the reports that I've read here. Congress is considering legislation that would give states the ability to require out-of-state retailers to collect sales tax. In other words, no tax-free online shopping. In 1992, the Supreme Court ruled states can't force businesses to collect sales tax unless the business has a physical presence in that state. However, times have changed a lot since then, and Congress is arguing states are losing billions in revenue here, and the current tax system is a mess. Internet sales taxes vary from state to state. It's really hard to keep things consistent. And basically, nothing's been decided yet. It still has to pass through the House, and then Obama has to decide, and I mean Congress has to decide one way or the other, but I think we're probably going to see a real change here. As a lot of various sites have pointed out, and I want to make the point here, this doesn't necessarily mean that your online shopping is going to get more expensive, although it's going to really depend on how well the area you're in legislates the following laws if they do get passed. But I think you could still see a big change in this. I don't want to get into a long debate about the merits of, like, online versus local shopping or something like that. But I think this is an issue to definitely keep an eye on. All right, so one last thing. As always, we talk really quick about what we've been geeking out about this week, and I just want to say four words. Iron Man was awesome. Saw it this weekend. It was fantastic. If you haven't had the chance to check it out, go watch it immediately. I think it's playing at the Varsity right now. I am going to try really hard not to spoil too much here, but spoiler alert in general. I thought the plot twist with the Mandarin was amazing. I know that I've seen a lot of Iron Man comic fans, like, hating it. I'm a comics nerd, not an Iron Man nerd in general, so I can't really speak to that, but I thought that Iron Man 3 handled it in a way that I was not expecting and it was just really well done. I was, like, completely blown away. I came in with an expectation that I was going to get this kind of storyline, and I got something that I had no idea was coming. I thought, you know, Robert Downey Jr. was amazing. Everybody was great in this film. Lots of really good action sequences. Pepper Potts was the best. Really stole the show, frankly. Her and Ben Kingsley definitely stole the show here. And anyway, I just want to say that was really great. I can't think of anything else, really, that I've been geeking out about this week, so I guess that's it. And I guess that's it in general for this semester. Let us know what you think of this episode and of Plus INT in general. If you got any ideas for stuff we can do next semester or maybe between semesters if we have the chance to record anything. Let us know at theprairiewt@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook, theprairiewt, on Twitter, the_prairie, and we're on Google+. You can subscribe and rate on iTunes, although we're probably not going to have any new episodes for about 2-3 months here. So, yeah, just letting you guys know that. No promises. I mean, like I said, maybe if I can cobble something together for AmmaCon, I'll try and get that. But that's pretty much it. So, yeah, it's been a semester. Awesome. Thanks again for listening. And that's it.